Would you turn to Romans chapter 12? Let's get right to it. We got work to do. Hallelujah. Amen. God is good. All the time. Even when we're boneheads, He's still good. Even when He's correcting us, He's still good. Even when we backslide, He's still good. He's still waiting for us to front slide. In Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, would you read it with me, please? I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you what? Present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your... It's your responsibility to present yourself holy. Well, how do you present yourself holy? First thing you must do is repent. Because you and I cannot work, you and I can't do anything to become holy. Hello? The only thing we can do is have relationship because He's the one that qualifies us to be holy. Does everybody understand that? So as you repent and get in God's presence, His Holy Spirit brings holiness. In verse 2, would you read it? It says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So it says, transform your mind. In other words, be like-minded with Christ. Do not be conformed to this world, which is the carnal mind. See, the world's mind is carnal. But God says to be transformed, right? So that you and I may be like-minded with Him. Amen? So that you can what? Prove His will. See, because the carnal mind can't prove the will of God. Only the mind of Christ. Is everybody with me? Go to verse 9. It says, let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Now he's explaining some of this. Abhor what is evil. What kind of mind is this? It's like-minded with Christ, isn't it? Cling to what is good. Be kindly, affectionate to one another with brotherly love and honor, giving preference to one another. Not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope. Is everybody with me in verse 12? Patient, which means endurance. In what? Tribulation. Hallelujah. Continuing steadfastly in prayer. Don't give up. Distributing to the needs of the saints, giving to hospitality. Now he's saying this is what I want you to be like-minded with. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Be of the what? Same mind toward one another. Do not set your mind on high things, selfish, prideful things, but associate with the what? Humble. In other words, don't make yourself first. Do not be wise in your own opinion. Repay no one evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. If it is possible, as much as depends on you. Depends on who? You. Live what? Peaceably with all men. Beloved, do not avenge yourselves. You see, he's talking about the mind of Christ. But rather give place to wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. Therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. For in doing so, you will heap coals of fire on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. That's what he's talking about. He's saying, be like-minded. Amen? Praise God. With who? With Christ. Be like-minded with Christ. Go to Proverbs 23. Now the mind of the world is called carnal. Amen? In fact, tonight's teaching is called like-minded. If you didn't know that already. Hallelujah. We've got another teaching called, I think it's the mind of Christ. Something like that. What is it? Renewing your mind. Shooting your carnal mind and renewing your mind. Oh, hallelujah. Proverbs 23. I'm getting there. In verse 7. Would you read it with me? Proverbs 23, verse 7. For as he thinks in his heart, so he is. Eat and drink, he says to you, but his heart is not with you. So as you think in your heart, so you are. In other words, your carnal mind, if you're going to agree with your carnal mind, so you'll be carnal. If you're going to agree with the mind of Christ, so you'll be like-minded with him. In other words, what God is doing right now, the body of Christ is in a stage, another stage of growth. Everybody knows everything's moving rapidly and quickly. Amen? Now, he's talking about the body of Christ has gone through healing, it's gone through deliverance, it's going through many things. There's another stage that's coming up, and it's called operating in the mind of Christ. What God is trying to do is bring everybody in this room that we become like-minded. Amen? We become like-minded. Now, how do you tell somebody's like-minded? Well, man, as man thinks, so he is. Well, in other words, as he thinks, so he'll act, won't he? So you're going to tell them by their fruit then. You're going to discern yourself whether you are like-minded with Christ or like-minded carnally. You're going to judge by your own fruit. Amen? What comes out of your mouth, what things that you do, and so forth. You're going to know whether you're touching and agreeing with the enemy. Amen? Or the Creator. One or the other. But God is trying to bring us into that arena. We become like-minded. Go to Philippians 2. Philippians chapter 2. Hallelujah. Sometimes I think we have a hard time accepting the mind of Christ dwells within us. I think sometimes the devil tries to convince us that we cannot be like-minded. And when you touch and agree with it, then you can't. Amen? Does everybody get that? I mean, he says, man, you can't be like-minded with God. That's not true. In verse 5, read it with me. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Come on, say it again. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. So that just nullifies what the devil's been telling the people of God. Who being in the form of God did not consider robbery to be equal with God. Now let me share something with you. To be like-minded is to be like God. It doesn't say you are God. In other words, what he's saying, to be like-minded with God, you're going to have the thoughts and the character, hello, like God. That sounds pretty wild, doesn't it? But that's what the price Jesus paid for me and you. It says the same mind that was in Jesus can be in you. That's called like-minded. But made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a what? Bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in appearances of man, he what? Humbled himself. That's called, listen, so if this is what Jesus did, how about me and you? He humbled himself and became obedient to the point of what?
Death.
That's Christ-minded. Even the death of the cross. Therefore, God also what? Has highly exalted him and given them the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, and of those in heaven and those on the earth and those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of the God the Father. So listen, with the mind of Christ, as you become like-minded, when you speak the name of Jesus, they obey. See, but the devil knows whether you are like-minded or not. You know, I don't know if I shared this with everyone. I shared with a couple of people. There was a gentleman that I've been praying for about 12 and a half years, ever since I've been saved. I was with, used to party with him and so forth in the drug world. And we did a lot of crazy things. And he called me a few days ago, and he wanted to see me. And he was out on bail. So, you know, I took my authority and so forth, and I went over there, and he was sitting there with a beer and a cigarette in this place, all paranoid and so forth. So when I sat down, he started talking. He says, "Man, I just need you to listen." I said, "Okay, no problem." And he started talking. I said, "Wait a minute. First I got to do, because I can't take this garbage in this home." I mean, you know, it was like demons bouncing off of walls in that place. And I said to him, I said, "I got to clean this place up before I can sit down and talk with you." So I took my authority, and I bound every foul and clean spirit and so forth, and took my authority and whatever, and I commanded everything to leave in that house. I applied the blood. I did what I was supposed to do. I took my authority. And then I sat down. I said, "Okay, now talk." Well, he was talking for a little bit. Then all of a sudden, about 20, 30 minutes later, he stops. He goes, "Man," he said, because it just hit him. He said, "Man, those voices, I don't hear them anymore." He said, "You took authority and came in here and cleaned this place up." He said, "I even felt stuff leave me." I said, "Man, it's the Holy Spirit." I said, "When you come under authority, you have authority. It's for you too once you come under authority." Amen? Why? Because that's like-minded. My daddy would have done the same thing. I want to be like-minded with his word. It says, "Bind the strong man as you enter and plunder. Bind a strong man of the house so that you can enter and plunder its goods." Amen? The Bible says that you and I have the keys of the kingdom. That's like-minded. So you take your authority. You do it. It doesn't matter what you feel like. It doesn't matter what you think. You have to be like-minded. Like-minded is something that's a part of your life now. There are things that I don't have to pray for like I used to have to pray for. Because like-mindedness has overtaken me and I do it, knowing that it's pleasing Him. Does everybody understand that? Just like when you begin to drive a car. Once you learn how to drive a car, you can get on any car. Life becomes part of you, doesn't it? Well, that's what the mind of Christ wants to do. That's what the Holy Spirit wants to do. He wants to possess you thoroughly to where you become like-minded with Him. Amen? Oh, hallelujah. Well, the Bible says here, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." How can we deny that? It says it right there. Glory to God. The mind of Christ be in us is like-minded with Him. Go to Jeremiah 31. Oh, hallelujah. Jeremiah 31 and 31. Read it with me. Jeremiah 31. "Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt. My covenant which they broke, though I was a husband to them, says the Lord. But this is the new covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my" what? "My law in their minds." Ooh. My ways I'm going to put in their minds. Amen? "And write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. No more shall every man teach his neighbor. Why? Because they will be like-minded. That's for now. And every man his brother, saying, know the Lord, for they all shall know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them, says the Lord, for I will forgive their iniquity and their sin I will remember no more. Is that happening now?
Yeah.
Amen. That's for me and you. Like-minded. Put the law in our mind and write it in our hearts. In other words, character. That's where the sevenfold of the Holy Spirit comes, which is in Isaiah. Spirit of the Lord and wisdom and knowledge, understanding, and so forth. That's where His character, the fullness of Christ's character, is in us. That's the mind of Christ. Where our wisdom is no longer from the earth, but it comes from the throne. Where our understanding is not, it's not normal common sense anymore. You don't walk by common sense. You walk by the mind of Christ. You don't walk because somebody is in need. You walk because He tells you. Amen? Does everybody understand it? You don't walk in the soulish arena. You walk now in the spirit arena. It's totally different. Because if you walk in the carnal mind is of the world. That is of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. But the mind of Christ, to be like-minded, is the tree of life. There's difference. Because there are people who are good, but they still are not like-minded with Christ. Amen? They may be good people. They may have a sincere heart and have good intentions. But their good intentions and their sincere heart is doing nothing but promoting darkness. Because they give money to places that promote darkness. They are not like-minded with Christ. Because they're not promoting life. Does everybody understand it? Oh, hallelujah. Go to 2 Timothy chapter 1. Oh, hallelujah. 2 Timothy chapter 1. Verse 6 and 7, read it with me. Therefore I remind you to stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. Well, what is that? Stirring it up. He said, come on, man, pray in the Spirit. Why? Because what's it going to do? It's make connection to the like-mindedness. It moves you out. What, doesn't praying in the Spirit bring revelation knowledge? Amen? Doesn't it build up your most holy faith? What are you doing? You're getting in the Spirit. Why? So that the mind of Christ can be, so you can become like-minded. Paul was like-minded with Christ, wasn't he? Amen? For God has not given us a spirit of what?
Fear.
Well, fear is going to disqualify your like-mindedness, isn't it? But of power and of love and of a what?
Sound
mind is unmovable. A sound mind is the like-mindedness with Christ. A sound mind is unmovable. Has everybody got it? What's a sound mind? Unmovable. Unmovable. Go to James chapter 1. Hallelujah. See, fear will negate a sound mind. Fear will move an individual out of position when God's trying to bless them. But fear brings the individual to the present and the needs of the present. Does everybody understand that? Fear brings an individual to the need of the present. This is what I need now. They can't see the future because fear blinds them. They can't understand and receive what God is about to do. It puts them in the present of fear. They're concerned of what they need now. Yes, we serve the God of now. But God is not bound to now. He is, He was, and He always will be. He's eternal. God is always trying to prepare you for your future, isn't He? Today, He's preparing you for tomorrow. Amen? No matter what it is. He's preparing you for tomorrow. He's preparing you for the... See, but fear moves people out of position. See, because fear negates sound mind, which is unmovable. How many times did you get moved out of position and go, man? How many times did you miss a job? You decided to go do something else. And, man, that was, I could have had that. Man, I would have been the one that got promoted. Amen? But a sound mind is unmovable. Amen? Fear moves people out of position. Okay. Hallelujah. James chapter 1. Do we get there yet? Hallelujah. James chapter 1 and verse 2. Read it with me. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. Here we go again. I love it. How many of y'all in various trials? Oh man, you ought to be laughing like crazy. Praise God. You know why? It's an opportunity to grow. You mean how I feel is an opportunity to grow? Yes, it's trying to kill your feelings. Knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. Now, wait a minute. How is God going to check to see if you're like-minded with Him? He's going to put you through trials. Every day, you'll have some kind of trial. When you get up in the morning, there's a trial every single day. You are tested every single day of your life. Trials are not always troubles. A trial could be something good. God wants to know what you're going to do with it. Hello? But let patience have its perfect work. Amen? That you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. Lacking nothing. In other words, if you are like-minded, you are lacking nothing. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given him. Now, wisdom tells us what to do with the knowledge, right? That's like-minded. But let him ask in faith with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is what? Double-minded. Double-minded is carnal. Unstable in all of his ways. Oh, it may seem like that person is stable in an area, but he's unstable. Does everybody get it? It's unstable. Why? Because he's movable. Amen? Remember, a sound mind is what? Unmovable. So a double mind is movable. Double-minded. It's opposite of like-minded with Christ. It's called double-minded, unstable. Not discerning, unfaithful in these areas. Unstable. Amen? Yeah. Go to James 3 while we're here. In verse 13. James 3 and verse 13. Would you read it with me? Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by good conduct, or by what? Fruits. That his works are done in the meekness of wisdom. In other words, in the meekness or like-minded with Christ. But if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. This wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, and what?
Demonic.
Let me share with you. Carnal-mindedness is demonic. Hello? Carnal-mindedness is demonic. If you are carnally minded, you are yielding to the wrong spirit. That's why we take dominion over the carnal mind, don't we? Carnal-mindedness is a representation of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. It cannot produce life. That's why you and I must be like-minded with the tree of life, who is the mind of Christ, the Holy Spirit, which produces life. Amen? He who sows to the flesh reaps what? Corruption. And he who sows to the Spirit reaps what? Everlasting life. Verse 16, come on, read it with me. For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there. Whoa, it says, now check this out. It says, where what? Envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing is also there. Anything with envy and self-seeking, every other evil thing is there available. Oh, hallelujah. Where what? Envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there. Doesn't say that it's not there. It says, if these two fruits are there, every other evil thing is there also. But the wisdom that is from above is first what? Pure, not self-seeking. Then what? Peaceable. Gentle, willing to what? Say that again, willing to what?
Yield.
In other words, not fighting for its life. It's dead. Dead men don't get offended, do they? Willing to yield, full of what? Mercy and what else? Good fruits. Without partiality and without hypocrisy. In other words, the individual is not being partial either. Now the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who what? Make peace. Worldly wisdom is not common sense. I mean, worldly wisdom is common sense. I'm sorry. Worldly wisdom and common sense is double-mindedness. Hallelujah. Has everybody got it? Worldly wisdom and common sense is double-mindedness. Why? Because it's carnal. People rely on their common sense more than they do the voice of the Lord. Has everybody got it? Self-seeking and pride, not totally surrendered yet. That's double-mindedness. That's carnal. And carnal mind is what? Demonic. Why? Because the devil has access to that. Go to James 4. Oh, hallelujah. In verse 7. Read it with me. Therefore submit to God. Therefore submit to the mind of Christ that you may be like-minded. Resist the devil and he will what?
Flee
from you. Draw near to God, and He will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you what? Double-minded. What is He saying? I mean, if you can't submit to God, you can't submit to authority, you're double-minded. If you can't take counsel, correction, and direction, you're double-minded. If you can't forgive, if you can't deny yourself, you're double-minded. You're carnal. Where there's carnality, there's demonic activity. Lament and mourn, weep, and let your laughter be turned into mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and He will lift you up. Amen? Oh, hallelujah. Submit to God is like-minded. It requires the testing and teaching of stewardship. It requires the testing and teaching of stewardship. Go to Titus chapter 1. Oh, hallelujah. Titus chapter 1. Starting at verse 5. Titus 1 verse 5. See, the Holy Spirit trains us and teaches us to become stewards and to become like-minded. Stewardship as an apprentice to become like-minded with Christ. Becoming a steward of the Lord is an apprenticeship to become like-minded with Christ. In verse 5, read it. For this reason I left you in Crete. Now understand, Paul is writing to Titus. He's saying, listen, I left you there. That you should set in order the things that are lacking and appoint elders in every city as I commanded you. Now why would Paul give Titus this authority? Because they were what? Like-minded. If a man is blameless, a husband of one wife, having faithful children, not accused of dissipation or insubordination, for a bishop, which means overseer, must be blameless as a steward of God, not self-willed, not quick-tempered, not given sex, drugs, or rock and roll. They say wine here. Not given to worldly affairs. Not violent, not greedy for money, but hospitable, a lover of what is good, sober-minded or like-minded, just, holy, self-controlled, holding fast the faithful word as he has been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine, both to exhort and convict those who contradict. Now, you can't be one that's not being able to do it. If you can't walk it, you can't teach it. Amen? If you can't walk, a bishop is an individual that is what we call an overseer or is like-minded. He's a steward. Amen? He's a steward. And to become a steward, you must come under an office of authority. Does everybody understand that? How else are you going to be a steward? You must serve and come under an office of authority so that you can serve in that arena, so that you can become a steward. How is that going to happen? Well, then you become Christ-like or like-minded. Go to Luke 12. Is everybody with me? Does everybody understand this? Praise God. I got some blank looks out there. Be loosed in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Luke chapter 12. And verse 41. Luke chapter 12 and verse 41. Is everybody there? Then Peter said to him, Lord, do you speak this parable only to us or to all people? And the Lord said, who then is that faithful and what? Wise steward, whom his master will make ruler over his household to give them their portion of food in due season. Blessed is that servant when his master will find so doing when he comes. Why? Because he's like-minded with him, isn't he? Stewardship is an opportunity to become like-minded. But if that servant says in his heart, my master is delaying his coming, and begins to beat the male and female servants, and eat and drink and be drunk, the master of that servant will come on a day when he is not looking for him, and an hour when he is not aware, and will cut him in two and appoint his portion with the unbelievers. So we see stewardship as an opportunity to become like-minded. Does everybody understand that? Amen?
Amen?
Oh, hallelujah. Be faithful steward. In other words, you must be a faithful steward before you can become an overseer. He says, if you're faithful to little, I'll give you more. And he says, will I not bless that servant so when I find doing him, I will give him his portion, but then what? He's going to give him ruler over all of his things, or over all other things, isn't he? So before you and I become an overseer, we must be a steward. Amen? You must be a steward. In other words, God is going to test you on the things that he's given you authority of already before you become an overseer or an officer. What's he testing us for? To be like-minded. He wants you to be like-minded. Wasn't this ruler right here right, who had the steward, he was training him to become like-minded with him. Why? So he could trust him in every area. Amen? Not just in some areas, but in all areas. In other words, the decisions that that steward's going to make should be the same decisions as the overseer. Somebody understand it. It's important. Because these are the things that you and I should be thriving for. These are the things that we should be looking for. Whether you are like-minded with whose own authority over you. Somebody understand that. Hallelujah. Work in ministry. You know, many want to be chiefs before they complete stewardship. Some of us are at jobs and we want a position. We want to make more money, but you haven't fulfilled your stewardship yet. Amen? Then you wonder why other people get promoted and you don't. Because you're trying to promote yourself instead of allowing God to promote you. Same thing in ministry. There's many people claiming out they're an officer when they've never completed stewardship yet. And their fruits show it. Why? Because they should be like-minded in who they're under authority with. Does everybody understand that? Oh, hallelujah. 1 Corinthians chapter 7. Oh, to God be the glory. Look at marriage. A husband and wife. Now, don't get me wrong, okay? Yes, women think different than men, and men think different than women. But in Christ, we should be like-minded. There are ethics and everything else. In other words, my wife knows the decisions I would make. I know the decisions my wife would make. We are like-minded in the Spirit. The Bible says if you're joined to the Lord, hello? So you and I should become like-minded in the Spirit with one another. 1 Corinthians chapter 7. You know, a mechanic goes to school, doesn't he? He learns how to work on vehicles. He knows all the technical stuff. Why? Because he wants to be like-minded with his overseer, amen, and the manufacturer. So that when he goes to work on something, they'll know exactly what, they'll be like-minded. Amen. One accord. Like-minded. Verse 17, 7:17, 1 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 17. Is everybody there? Hallelujah. Would you read it with me? But as God has distributed to each one, as the Lord has called each one, so let him walk. And so I ordain in all the churches. In other words, Paul was saying, listen, I'm going out and ordaining in all the churches. What's he doing? Let me share something with you about ordination. Ordination is a certificate to be trained for an officer. It doesn't make you an officer. Because people get ordained does not qualify them to be a pastor or anything else. What it does is it qualifies them to become trained, to become an officer. Does everybody understand that? That's what ordination is about. When people get ordained, they are not pastors. Hello? They get ordained so they become trained up to fulfill an office. Amen? That's what it is. It's a certificate. God is acknowledging that person. He's ordaining that person. Acknowledging him, okay, now you're ready to be trained to become an officer. Amen. It does not put the individual in the office. Has everybody got it? You are ordained so that you can be trained up to become an officer. Remember David, what happened to David? He got ordained. King David got ordained, right? 13 years later, he fulfilled the office of king. What did he go through? He went through training. Does everybody understand that? So just because somebody gets ordained doesn't mean that they're ready for the office. The problem is people are trying to get in the office before they fulfill their stewardship. And then they mess it up. Listen, if you're a pastor, you have a flock. Hello? God doesn't, listen, man doesn't place you in those things. God does. I still don't know how I got here. I'm telling you, I wasn't seeking to become a pastor. I was seeking the Lord. He just placed me in one place. Placed me in another place. The next thing I know, I was ordained. Next thing I know, then I was mentored in certain areas and whatever. One thing led to another. And the Lord said, start the ministry. Whoa. It didn't happen overnight. And let me share something with you. Even though that you're being trained to fulfill an office, God sees... What he does then eventually is he puts you in the office and trains you to fulfill the office. Does everybody understand that? In other words, it's like on-the-job training. Amen? As you come underneath authority and you become like-minded with your overseer, amen? You become like-minded with your overseer whom God's placed over you as mentoring. As you become like-minded, what's he preparing you to do? Fulfill an office, isn't he? Amen? Eventually, God is going to place you in that office, not because of what you've done to fulfill it, but because you've earned his trust. Then he puts you in the office, because you're not ready to fulfill it anyways yet. See, because every time there's a promotion, there's exposure. Exposure. Amen? So God doesn't, some of the things that God does is just out of this world. Amen? Sometimes we get promoted at work. You didn't get promoted because of what you knew. You got promoted because you were faithful. God put you in that position, then he trained you to fulfill it. When the Lord put me in the position of pastor, he trained me to fulfill the office. Because I didn't know nothing. Now I was underneath pastors. I saw, I watched. I remember the Lord always telling me, what would you do, guy? What would you do? Holy Spirit was mentoring me then. And then I have a physical mentor. He used to kick my butt sometimes, but praise God. He used to tell me, "Don't. It's not about how you feel." I used to go to the hospital and pray for people. They'd die. And I was in a healing ministry. I'm like, what's up? Hallelujah. And then I get kidded by my mentor. Oh, let God pray for you. You'll go right home. Then I began to see the manifestations. And all of a sudden, people were getting healed. I didn't feel anything. People were getting healed from brain tumors and all kinds of stuff. I didn't know. I was just doing it. It was teaching me to walk by faith and not by how I felt. Not by what I heard. Why? Because he wanted to be like-minded with him. Where you have a sound mind and you're not moved. It doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. It's all that matters is pleasing him. It doesn't matter whether you're pleasing man. You submit to your authority. That's how you please man. Why? So you can become like-minded. In other words, that's how you get your inheritance too, isn't it? So you can have inheritance and not know what to do with it. If you don't have the same mind, you won't know what to do with the inheritance. Does everybody understand that? Oh, hallelujah. Let's go to John 15. Amen. John 15. Oh, to God be the glory. And verse 4. Would you read it with me? Lord said, abide in me and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine and you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples or my stewards. Amen. Now he says, abide in me. In other words, be like-minded with me. And you'll see that you'll bear much fruit. And as you bear much fruit, it pleases the Father. And you'll be acknowledged as one of my stewards. And a steward is a part of training, isn't it? And as you're faithful with a little, you get what? More. Amen? You get more. Go to Matthew 7. Oh, hallelujah. Is everybody getting this? Matthew chapter 7. Oh, to God be the glory. Matthew chapter 7. So let me ask you this. Let's just, if you're not like-minded with your boss, is he going to give you jobs to do that he knows you can't handle? No. In other words, you won't progress until you become what? Like-minded. You know, everyone in this room tries to tell someone to do something. You know what they're trying to do? Be like-minded with them. How many times did you ask someone to go do something? And it's like, man, why didn't you do what I told you where it was. See, they didn't get the vision, did they? See, like-minded also has the vision. Has the vision. Like-mindedness, you see. Listen, in this office of this ministry, those who want to serve in this ministry is because they have the vision. They become like-minded. Now, as they become stewards and faithful, they become like-minded. In other words, they're going to do what I would do. They're going to make the decision I would make the decision. Why? Because it's not me that makes the decision. It's him. Does everybody understand that? It's just like if somebody's a steward of your stuff, they know where everything is, don't they? They can see it. They become like-minded. In fact, there are things that where you don't even have to ask, they know already. They move before you even ask. God wants us to move before he has to ask us. When you become like-minded with God, the Holy Spirit, you don't have to wait to be told what to do. You do it. You already know. Amen. That's like-minded. See, because when you become like-minded with the Holy Spirit, he tells you things to come. You're able to see all the way through. If he tells you to do something, listen, when the Holy Spirit usually tells you to do something, it's because you already missed it. Come on. Do you understand that? Why? Because you're in the training. See, when he doesn't have to tell you to do something, you have a witness in your spirit that that's the right thing to do. The problem is the witness must be in your spirit, not your soul. It's not about a good feeling. That's not a witness. People get led by good feelings, thinking they're witnesses in their spirit. That's incorrect. It's a witness that passes all understanding. It's a peace that passes all understanding. Is everybody with me? In other words, my wife knows decisions that I would make. There are individuals that know a decision I would make. There are people that will tell somebody, you know, Pastor ain't going to put up with that. Amen? Well, why? Because we've become, in certain areas, like-minded. Amen? Listen, your overseer should be one who's trying to please God. When you see the fruits of the overseer, you'll know where they stand, don't you? Listen, the overseer that was over me, I wanted to be like him. And the Lord was training me. There were times when I knew exactly what his next move was going to be. And what was what? I knew it pleased him. Why? But I had the mind of Christ operating and mentoring me in that whole arena. See, you're either associating with the spirit of truth or the spirit of error. And the Holy Spirit's trying to get us to that place where we're constantly operating with the spirit of truth. Amen? So there is no error. Oh, hallelujah. Where did I say to go? John 15? Oh, Matthew 7? Thank you. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 15. Would you read it with me? Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes from the thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Therefore, by their fruits, you will know them. Let me share with you, these false prophets are known as false officers. Self-promotion, while still in training. Those are called false prophets. Does everybody understand that? How many times have you known someone that called himself a prophet such and such, or pastor such and such, and you just knew that they were not fulfilling that office? You knew it, that things weren't right. Amen? You just knew it. You know why? Self-promotion. Amen? Because it wasn't God's time. They did not complete the stewardship training. Does everybody understand it? And how do you know that? You know by the fruit, don't you? You know by decisions. You know by certain things that operate and happen. Amen? Go to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. Oh, hallelujah. In verse 9, would you read it? Colossians chapter 9, chapter 1, verse 9. For this reason, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Is that like-minded with Christ? Amen. Amen. That you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him, being fruitful in every good work or decision, and increasing in the knowledge of God, increasing in the knowledge of the, be like-minded with Him. Strengthened with all might according to His glorious power for all patience and long-suffering with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in what? In the light. Amen? So you and I are to be increasing in the like-mindedness of Him. Increasing. You know, think about where you used to be and where you are now. Amen? You're becoming more and more like-minded with Christ, aren't you? You're either going forward or you're backsliding, one or the other. You're either going forward or you're going backwards. Go to Ephesians 4. Ephesians chapter 4. Verse 11. What does it say? And He Himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Now, why would he put in these offices? He has these offices, it says, for the equipping of the body of Christ. Why? So that they would be Christ-like minded. Amen? So that they can be overseers. Everyone in this room has an opportunity to fulfill an office. Everyone. Some offices are a little bit different too. They might not be these type of offices. They may be an office of administration. They may be an office of whatever. I mean, intercessor, all kinds of things. You know, I remember as the Lord was training me and teaching me, and you know, one of the things that he put me with intercessors. Man, I wanted to be just like them as I began to intercede. Why? Because he was teaching me how to pray more. He was teaching me how to intercede. It was important. What was he doing? He was training me to put me in office and then train me for that office. Everybody got it? See, it wasn't something that I chose. It was something that I was called for. You don't choose it. He calls you for it. Amen? Oh, hallelujah. Where are we? Okay. And let's go to verse. What verse are we on now? 12? Okay. Oh, verse 13. Let's go back to 12. For the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Now, how would that come until we become like-minded? That we should no longer be children tossed to and fro. Listen, if you're still being tossed to and fro, then you're not like-minded. Amen? And carried about with every wind of doctrine. In other words, self-proclaiming officers that are still being tossed to and fro have no right to be in office. It doesn't mean that you're going to have trials and tribulations. Amen? It doesn't mean that you're going to go through stuff. But it means that you won't be moved. You won't be moved. You know, even in a discipleship program and so forth, there's house managers, then there's assistant house managers and so forth, and people get promoted in certain areas. Those are areas for training. Everything is for training in our discipleship program, no matter what it is. People are given prayer partners and so forth. All of that is training. Everything about that is to train. You become stewards. In other words, even with your prayer partners, you become like-minded. There are things that you know your partner is going to need without you even asking. There are things that God's going to reveal to you to pray for. You're going to be quickened on it without even asking. There are things that God is going to reveal to you because you're like-minded that he's telling you. You know that you're not supposed to let anybody else know. You're just supposed to do something. Even when he says, I want you to bless someone, see, to be Christ-like-minded, the Holy Spirit doesn't tell you boast yourself about what you just did. Amen? He doesn't want you to know. There are things that he has me go do. He says, don't tell nobody. Why? Because my reward isn't with man. My reward is with him. See, this is where you really have, this is where you discern whether you really have a relationship or not. If you're out trying to please man and do stuff before men, then you really don't have a relationship with him. Because it's what you do behind closed doors what's the most important thing. Amen? Oh, hallelujah. That we should no longer be children tossed to and fro, carried about with everyone the doctrine by the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love may what? Grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body joined and knit together by what every joint supplies according to the effect of working with which every part does its share. Every part will do its share more when we become like-minded. Causing growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. Oh, hallelujah. Like I said, if you're still being tossed to and fro, officers are to be unmovable. Praise God. Go to verse 20. It says something here very powerful. It says, but you have not learned the what? You have not learned Christ. If indeed you have heard Him and have been taught by Him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you what? Put off concerning your former conduct. The old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man which was created according to Christ in true righteousness and holiness. That's putting on the mind of Christ, being like-minded. Believe me, if you're truly like-minded in the areas, you won't make decisions and do things that we do. Amen? You won't say things that you say. You won't act in certain areas. You're going to judge by your fruit whether you're like-minded. See, but that must be a conscious effort also. You must want to be and have a desire to be like-minded. Amen?
Amen?
With Christ. Believe me, when you're like-minded with Christ, you'll earn favor. You earn favor in every area. You won't be moved. You'll wait on God. In every area. You'll trust Him. You won't rely on your bank account. You won't think that you deserve and earn everything. You'll be the last, and everything else will be the first. That's Christ-like. Ephesians 5, while we're here. Verses 1 through 7, read it with me. Paul says, therefore be what? Imitators of God. I know, isn't that wild? Be imitators of who?
God.
As dear children, and walk in love as Christ also has loved us and given Himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. But fornication and all uncleanliness or covetousness, let it not even be named among you as fitting for saints. Neither filthiness nor foolish talking, nor coarse jesting, which are not fitting but rather giving of thanks. Coarse jesting of God's mind? No. That's not how Daddy thinks. He doesn't coarse jest. For this you know, that no fornicator, unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not be partakers with them. We are to be imitators of God, the mind of Christ, and like-minded with one another. Go to 1 Corinthians 3. Oh, hallelujah. First Corinthians 3. Is everybody okay? First three verses. And I, brethren, could not speak to you as spiritual people, but as carnal. Why? Because they were double-minded. As to babes in Christ, I fed you with milk and not with solid food, for until now you were not able to receive it. And even now you are still not able. Paul was frustrated. For you are still carnal. For where there are what? Envy, strife, and divisions among you, are you not carnal and behaving like mere men? Carnal-minded is what? Demonic. Everybody understand that? For when I was a child, I thought as a child. I spoke as a child. I reasoned as a child. The carnal mind has everything to do with common sense arena in the natural realm. Wisdom and knowledge and understanding of the natural realm. It relies on the things that are natural, not on the things of the throne. To be like-minded with Christ sees through all of those things. And the Holy Spirit will bring you back sometimes. But see, those who are led by the Spirit are known as what? Sons of God. See, now the Holy Spirit will bring you back. That's why the Bible says, seek ye the kingdom of God, and all things will be added to you. Now the Holy Spirit will bring you back by His guidance to carnal understanding sometimes, or common sense. But it was directed by him and not by your carnal mind. Does everybody understand what I just said? Amen? In other words, you'll send something, well, common sense says to do this. No, no, no. You'll be led by the Spirit to know whether that's what you're supposed to be doing. As you're led by the Spirit, you may say, no, come back, that's okay. That's what I want you to do. And then you do it. But then there's times when you see, but you've got to see through that. You can't let that be your first choice. Carnal common sense, carnal wisdom and knowledge and understanding cannot be your first choice. That is not like-minded with Christ. That is carnal. That must be your final choice as you're being led by the Spirit. Amen? Oh, hallelujah. That's why people go in circles. They go in cycles. They go in circles. They go round and round and round. They wonder why God isn't doing anything, but He is. He's keeping you in a circle so you don't go messed up. Hallelujah. Go to 1 Timothy 3. First Timothy chapter 3. How many of y'all want to be like-minded with Jesus?
Amen.
Well, He says you have it. Remember, fear will prevent that sound mind. A sound mind is unmovable. 1 Timothy chapter 3. Oh, to God be the glory. In verses, let's see here. I think it's 1. 1 through 7. 1 Timothy 3, 1 through 7. Would you read it with me? This is a faithful saying. If a man desires the position of a bishop or an overseer, he desires a good work. For a bishop then must be blameless, the husband of one wife, temperate, sober-minded, Christ-like-minded, of good behavior, hospitable, able to teach, not given to wine, not violent, not greedy for money, but gentle, not quarrelsome, not covetous, not self-seeking, and so forth. One who rules his own house well, his temple, having his children in submission with all reverence. For if a man does not know how to rule his own house or his own temple, how will he take care of the church of God? Not a novice, lest being puffed up with pride, he fall into the same condemnation as the devil. Moreover, he must have a good testimony among those who are outside. Now, this doesn't mean that you have a testimony of what Jesus has done for you. These are called references. Does everybody understand that? Those are references from where? From someone who you're being stewarded under authority. That's what he's talking about. So that you have a good testimony. In other words, you have a good reference who you've been stewarded under authority. It doesn't mean the testimony in your life that Jesus has done. Hello? Yeah, I got a good testimony. I'm an officer. No, that's not what happens. I've got a right to do this. I got a good testimony. My testimony did not put me in position. He did. Amen? My references, my testimony, the testimony that I got from the one that I was under. When anybody had any question about me, I gave him his name. They said, call him. Call this pastor about me. And he would give the reference. Why? Because I was accountable to someone. Amen? Yes, we're accountable to the Lord. Many people say, well, I don't have to be accountable to anybody. I'm accountable to the Lord. But they can't be accountable to someone. You can't be accountable to God. It's impossible. It doesn't work that way. That's deception. I get people tell me, oh, me, the Bible, and the Holy Ghost. Good. I usually see them. They usually come into our class in jail later. Because that's not what's happening. You must come underneath authority. Why? So you can have a testimony. Your testimony is a reference. Doesn't the Bible say, forsake not to what? Assemble. Amen? Forsake not to assemble. That's why God puts us in a place. That's why He puts us in fellowship. Why? So that you can have a good testimony. not only the testimony of what God is doing with you, but the testimony of the elders or the overseers who are overseeing you, because they look out for your soul, the Bible says, and they're accountable to God. Oh, hallelujah. 1 Timothy 3. Okay. Verse 7, I want to read it again. Moreover, he must have a what? Good testimony among those who are what? Outside, lest he fall into reproach in the snare of the devil. That's a reference. Everybody got it? Oh, hallelujah. I want to close at Philippians 2. Like-minded. Philippians chapter 2. So let me tell you, let me ask you, would a like-minded individual with Christ be unevenly yoked? No. Would he put things on purpose before his eyes or her eyes to cause them to stumble? No. Would he cause a stumbling block to someone on purpose? No. Would he put himself first? No. Would he be covetousness, concerned about his own or his or her possessions? No. The Bible says give and don't worry about getting it back. But I'll tell you what, those teachings and books I give you, I better get them back. Not that I get many of them back, believe me. Hallelujah. It's like, you know, every time I know one leaves my hand, it's like, man, I know I'm not getting this back. I buy cases of these things. It's like, yeah, I tell them, make sure you bring this back so it can go to somebody else to be mentored. Okay. There it goes again. Hallelujah. Praise God. And I got to look to the Lord. I thank you, Lord. As I'm dying, I thank you, Lord. Bless them. Did steal from me. Oh, they're actually stealing from him. Hallelujah. What did I say to go? Philippians chapter 2 and verse 19. Would you read it, please, with me? But I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you shortly, that I also may be encouraged when I know your state. For I have no one like-minded, who will sincerely care for your state. But he knew Timothy would, didn't he? That's why he sent Timothy. He knew that there was an emergency. He knew that he didn't have to oversee Timothy in that area. Timothy had been overseen in a while. Him and Timothy became like-minded. He called him his son, didn't he? Amen. Timothy was his son. He knew they were like-minded. He could send Timothy, and he knew that he didn't have to check up on him or whatever. He knew that the decisions he was going to make were going to be the same decisions he would make. That's like-mindedness. For I have no one like-minded who will sincerely care for your sake. For all seek their what? Own, not the things which are of Christ Jesus. But you know his proven character. In other words, how did he know his proven character? Because he was the character of Paul. And Paul was the character of Christ. That as a son with his father, he served with me in the gospel. Therefore, I hope to send him at once, as soon as I see how it goes with me. But I trust in the Lord that I myself shall also come shortly. Paul didn't have anyone else like-minded like him. Titus was close, wasn't he? He sent Titus, who was like-minded. But Timothy was the closest one. Timothy was the one that Paul could trust all the way in every decision and anything. He knew that Timothy, just like Paul said, I became many things that many could be saved. He knew Timothy could become many things that many could be saved because he picked up his character. And Paul's character was Christ's character. Does everybody understand that? So what's happening, all of us here are being stewarded, aren't we? We're all being trained. We're to be like-minded with Christ, like-minded with one another. There'll be a point in time where you'll know what to do without having to ask, be asked to do it. Even in your homes and in the discipleship homes and so forth. You know, when you come to the point where you don't have to be asked to do something, then you're becoming like-minded. Amen? And if you're becoming like-minded with the individual that's the overseer, you're becoming more like-minded with Christ. Is everybody with me? That's what God is trying to bring us to in every area, whether it's service in the ministry, whether it's service at work, whether it's in marriage and friendship or fellowship, that we become like-minded with Christ and we will not open the door to demonic carnal activity. Even when it's things to purchase, money giving, gifts, whatever it is, you become like-minded. Well, you'll know what you're to give and how much. When you don't know when to give, when you don't know when to receive. Because there's things that people are going to try and give you, and you're just say no. There's people like, man, would you do? No. See, when you become like-minded, you'll know ahead of time. You'll even know what's going to happen before it even happens. And you'll have an answer right then and there before it even happens. The Word tells us that the Lord is going to speak to His people before they even ask. Amen. It is important that we become like-minded, especially what's going on right now. Not self-seeking. Not relying on our own stuff. Not relying on what's in our bank account. Not relying on anything else if He is not your provider. And let me share something with you. When God positions you, the devil, the first thing he's going to try to do is move you out of position. See, because the devil's going to try and puff up pride to keep you like-minded with him. He doesn't want you to join like-mindedness with an overseer. Does everybody understand that? Because he knows you'll grow too quickly. Because he'll be more exposed. Now listen, when you refuse to do that, is that not rebellion? Is that not witchcraft? So see, the carnal mind associates with witchcraft, doesn't it? It's demonic. We must really get that understanding. Why? Because it yields to the things of darkness, doesn't it? It yields to it. That's what its desire is. It wants to go back to its true father, who is Satan. But you and I now have the mind of Christ, and we have the opportunity to stay like-minded with life instead of death. Every choice and every decision you make, you want to make it to where it's like-minded with Christ. You know, people wear the bracelets and whatever. What would Jesus do? Some of them need to wear it around their neck. What would Jesus? Some of them need to wear it around their mouth. What would Jesus do? Hello? Maybe like a leash, pulling it back. The whole purpose is to be trained up so that we are like-minded. And everyone will see Christ in you. Amen? Father, we thank you for your word. We are honored and we are blessed, Lord. Lord, forgive us for associating with the carnal mind. Forgive us, Father, for being double-minded. And we break that from us right now in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we accept as we submit under your authority that we may be like-minded with your spirit, that we may be like-minded with the mind of Christ, no longer associated with or entangled with the mind of the world, but walk in the eternity and the life-giving Father of the mind of Christ from this night forward. In Jesus' name. And everybody said amen.